All right, good evening, class. Well, we're on lesson eight. Well, if you can find it in your book, I think I'm under the same heading as last week. It's entitled, "To See Authority Requires a Great Revelation." Now, we're going to begin with the first statement here. And you follow me, you're going to keep up pretty good if you can follow me in your book. It said, there are two important matters in the universe. Number one, trusting in God's salvation, and number two, obeying His authority. In other words, these two important matters kind of separate what God required as part of His authority: His salvation and obeying His authority. Once we get into the kingdom of God and get the revelation of God's authority, then everything else hinges on obeying that authority. Understand what I'm saying? Once we become part of the kingdom of God, our first assignment is to meet authority, learn what authority is, and then secondly, become a doer or obey that authority. That's the full circle of entering and functioning in the realm of God. Okay, class? Now you need to understand that because those two requirements keeps us in alignment with the kingdom of God and as laborers in the kingdom. You see it? Now, two things: trust and obey. Trust in God's salvation and obey authority. And the Bible defines sin as lawlessness. The Bible defines sin as lawlessness. Now, the scripture is 1 John 3 and 4. And I read this out of the Amplified Bible, class. Amplified Bible gave me one of the best understanding of this lawlessness that I could find anywhere. If you can turn with me, or if you have access to an Amplified Bible, I wish you can follow along with me. I'm going to give you a second to pull up the translation. If you got your phone or your Bible handy or whatever, I wanted to read together because we can read this together, class. We can be able to take this. And I'm talking so you can give you time to find it. You can be able to go through this scripture here and kind of discern exactly what this lawlessness means. Because once you begin to define lawlessness, it's going to help us to understand rebellion, and it's going to help us to understand submitting to God's authority. Rebellion, class, it's a satanic principle, and if you don't recognize authority or meet authority, then you won't recognize rebellion. Notice I say that. You got to meet authority first before you can recognize rebellion. If you meet or recognize, you can't recognize the latter, you see, until you understand the former or authority itself. And most people never really meet authority, so they don't know whether they're functioning in submission or not. They think they're in submission, but they function under the principle of satanic rebellion. Oh, class, it's a fine line, but it's such a great difference. It's almost like a canyon. It divides. But yet, if you don't see it, it could be similar. Oh, listen to me, class. It's such a great difference. It's like a earthquake split the earth in half, and that's how different it is. But if you don't meet authority, then you'll think they're so similar you won't be able to discern the two. God dog it. It takes a revelation to understand this, what I'm saying. And so if you don't meet authority, then you can be functioning in rebellion and don't know it. But yet, here's the word, yet they're worlds apart. Worlds apart. If you only knew how many Christians think they're doing the will of God, operating under a satanic principle. See, they don't know that they can preach the word of God under a satanic principle. You see it? Satan don't mind you preaching the word of God. But if you're not under the will of God, then you're working for him. He don't mind. My goodness, I wish you could see this. Now, that's why this class is so important, class. You need to wrap yourself around the understanding of some of these things. And the apostolic is the refinement. Apostle, if you pay attention to apostle and what he does, he refines what I'm saying. I'm doing the rough work here. But he refines it. My goodness, in these importation classes, he refines it like an architecture. You see it? He did all the, my goodness, we laying on a rough foundation. This is a rough foundation. You see it? But the apostolic refines it. You see it? And that's why you got to listen so close to apostles and what he's saying in those classes. You see, in apostolic classes, because it's a refinement of everything all these other classes are teaching on. Putting everything in proper perspective. Everything had to be in proper perspective. Excuse me, I get a little tongue-tied. You see, and so class, you gotta recognize that this school is not an ordinary school. You see, it's a supernatural school. But you gotta pay attention to get the understanding of what's going on in this school. Now, if you don't have 1 John 3 and 4 in your Amplified Bible now, by now, shame on you. I'm going to read it anyway. Now, 1 John 5, 3 and 4 Amplified. It says, everyone who commits, practices, is in parentheses in my Amplified Bible, who practices sin, is guilty of lawlessness. Lawlessness only means without law. You know, the simple word is without law. In other words, without authority. See, without authority, without law, without rules, without guidelines, without regulation, without stipulation. You see it? For that is, I'm stopping again now. Everyone who commits, practices sin is guilty of lawlessness. For that is what sin is. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is without law. Sin is with, I'm going to say this word, sin is without authority. You see it? Sin is functioning without an authority over you. To know that you can be corrected at any moment. You see it? Satan don't want you to know you're under authority. Because if there's a watchman over you, you're going to be very careful of what you say and what you do. As the scriptures say, put a watch over your tongue. If you put a watch over your tongue, you're not going to say anything. If you know if you know someone is listening to every word you say, you're going to be careful and you're going to pick and choose your words carefully. That's when authority is over you. So if you don't live like that before God, or live under authority or live before God, knowing there's authority over me, you're going to function in lawlessness. Listen to me, class. You're going to function without law. And you're going to be, you're liable to say anything or do anything. I'm going to give you another word. The fear of the Lord. If you don't function in the fear of the Lord, always conscious of God with you, God in you, His Spirit upon you, then you might say and do anything. But if you're always conscious of God's authority, oh my goodness, every word going to be, every word, boy, I almost say this, every word going to be circumcised. You see it? The cover going to be pulled back over everything you say. Everything you say going to be scrutinized by you. You see it? Why? Because I'm under authority. My words under authority. My actions under authority. Uh-oh, I'm giving another one. My thoughts are under authority of the Holy Ghost. That's what authority is. And lawlessness is the lack of that, a lack of understanding that the authority governs me as a person. Everywhere I go, everything I do, everything I think is under the authority of God. And sin is a lack of it, a lack of knowing I have an authority over me. And so I'm without law. I do what I want. I go what I want. I say what I want. You see it? You don't rule me. That's what you're telling God when you sin. You don't rule me. You're not my master. You're not my Lord. You don't govern me. I go what I want. That's lawlessness. When a person is under the sin like that, a lawlessness, I don't believe they're born again. Because if you're born again, guess what? I find out I can't do anything I want to do. I can't say anything I want to say. I'm always under the constraint of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me, class? It's a good scripture. I'm gonna read again. I hope you got a little bit more understanding out of it, because I did. Everyone who commits or practices sin is guilty of lawlessness, for that is what sin is. Lawlessness, the breaking, violating of God's law by transgression or neglect, being unrestrained. Now you see it, Claire? Being unrestrained and unregulated by his commands and his will. My goodness. That sure helped me when I looked at that scripture. I see, I understand what it means now. I can't live without being under authority, without being under consciousness that God's presence is always with me. I don't care where I go. How can a man just sin any way he want to sin? How can a man lay in the bed with another woman that's not his wife and God's presence is not there? Or vice versa, woman with a man. I'm going to use that for example. My goodness, that's just one example. But when you're under authority, and see, it comes with your salvation. So you trust and obey. You see it? That's the two principles that we need to follow. Now, the word in Romans 2 and 12, without law is the same as against law. Now we understand that scripture a little bit better, class? All right. Now, lawlessness, I'm going through the book now. Lawlessness is disobeying God's authority, and this is sin. You see? Now, I spend time in that 1 John 3 and 4 because it brings everything out in the open. It brings everything to light. Lawlessness is disobeying God's authority. Well, because I'm under that authority. I'm under God's authority. I'm under his presence. You see, I'm under the presence of the Holy Ghost. You see, and therefore, I'm always conscious of God. And I don't want to do anything that's wrong. Are you with me? Now, you see, I'm training a new dog right now. I got a new German Shepherd. And it's amazing how sometimes animals understand, catch on to something better than human beings. Now, this dog, when he gets into a place of submission, boy, it kind of lie down at my feet because it let me know. But sometimes I turn my back that she do anything she want to do because she realized that I'm not under your authority now. You see it? And so we don't want to feel like we leave God's presence. No, God's presence go with us everywhere we go. You see it? And so we got to be conscious of this. Now, sinning, listen to this now. You're going to understand this statement a lot better because of the little introduction we just had on 1 John 3 and 4. And that's why I took my time to go through that. And that's why I want you to look at it yourself in, in your Amplified Bible, because I think that's more clear than anything I ever saw. You know, the Amplified Version, it amplifies it and helped me to understand, you know, by breaking these words down, you know, and it helped me to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. Listen, sinning is a matter of conduct against God's, I wrote this footnote myself, and not in the book, but listen to it, it's gonna add on to what Brother Nee said to kind of exemplify. Sinning is a matter of conduct, and I got parentheses, against God's holy nature. Sinning is a matter of conduct against God's holy nature. You see, God's holy nature, his nature, that's on the inside of us, prevents us, or should, from not wanting to sin. His nature on the inside of us. And, well, let me add another word. The consciousness of his nature on the inside of us. You see it? Because he can be in us and we're not conscious of him on the inside. You see it? Because sometimes we don't practice his presence. You got to practice God's presence. How you do that? Spending time with God. And you become aware of his presence at all time. You see it? So sinning is a matter of conduct, you see, so as against God's holy nature, but lawlessness is a matter of heart attitude against God himself. Now, let me explain that a little bit. See, sinning is it's a matter of conduct against God's holy nature. Now, let's put it like this into our terms here. You see, holiness and righteousness. Let's use those two terms. Holiness is righteousness. You see, and righteousness. Righteousness is a state of being. Now, what did that mean, state of being? The Bible said, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made him. Let's look at that. That's not in my notes, but I think we need to see it because I got to understand. I got to explain. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. If you look at that for me for a second. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he, God, had made him, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us on that cross. Jesus became sin for us. Why? He made an exchange on that cross. What was the exchange? Who knew not sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, So righteousness become a position. Jesus became sin for us because he knew no sin as the Lamb of God, a perfect sacrifice without sin. He did no sin, became sin, took upon the sin, all of our sin upon us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So he exchanged his righteousness for our sin. He took our sin and gave us his righteousness. So we were made righteousness. Everybody said made righteous. We were made righteous, or righteousness became a part of our being. So righteousness is the state of being. I am righteous. I don't have to feel righteous. I am righteousness because of the blood of Jesus. Now why? Righteousness has nothing to do with my conduct. It don't have nothing to do with my holiness. Holiness is my behavior of my lifestyle. But I'm righteous because he made my spirit righteous. He took it from that damnation, that nature of damnation and sin and hell, and brought us into the kingdom of God and gave us his divine nature. Therefore had the nature of righteousness on the inside of me, and I've been born again, and I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but my holiness and my lifestyle is my conduct. You see it? And so when I sin, I'm sinning against God's holy nature. And my conduct ain't right. I lied. I didn't say something that was true. You know, I held animosity against my neighbor. You know, I misspoken when I should have kept my mouth shut. That's unholy. That's conduct. I got to do something with my conduct. I got to renew my mind. I got to keep myself pure and holy before God. That's my part. But righteousness was God's part, was Jesus' part. But holiness is my part. I got to constrain myself. I got to do what's right. I got to change my behavior. I got to change my language. I can't cuss and fuss no more. I can't get out there and drink and run wild women no more. I can't do that. That's my holiness, my holy nature. I got something to do with that. Be not conformed to the world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. See it? You may prove what? You may prove, that's good scripture. You may prove, Romans 12 and 2. I don't want to quote it because there's a statement here I got to say. Romans 12 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Where is that? Romans 12. Watch it. Why? Let's read the first and second verse. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, that you present your body, your righteous nature. You present your body a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which your reasonable service. And here's the second verse. And be not conformed to this world, but you may be transformed by renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see it? See it? That's something we got to do. So that's your holy nature. That's your holiness. That's your conduct. Now, where am I now? Where am I? Now. Okay. Sinning is a matter of conduct against God's holy nature, but lawlessness is a matter of heart attitude against God. Now, that's where Satan tried to deceive us in the principle of rebellion. That's where lawlessness comes in, functioning without law, not recognizing God as your authority. And Satan, and what Satan do is he wants you to switch allegiance in your authority. You see it? Now, this present age is characterized by lawlessness. Talk about this world system. And if you look at the world system, there's no law no more. Every time they put a law, they find a law to condemn that law and to go around the law and to put a loophole in the law and to make the law say something other than what the law originally stood for. That's the objection of the wisdom of Satan, if you want to call it wisdom, or the Bible calls it the wisdom of the world over in 1 John. Worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom always want to counteract God's wisdom. Now watch this. Why? This present age is characterized by lawlessness. The world is full of sin of lawlessness, and soon the son of lawlessness shall appear. We're talking about, as we go on, Satan going to reveal himself and going to show his hand. See, right now he hides his hand. He hides his hand, but he's going to reveal himself as the son of perdition, as the son of lawlessness. That's right before he's going to reign for 1,000 years over in the book of Revelation. You see it? So the world gonna know who Satan is. See, right now he hides behind his actions, and he make you think it's people, make you think it's things. He hides wickedness, so you can get in wickedness and don't know who's behind the wickedness, behind evil and sin. You see, he hides behind it. So, but he gonna expose himself. Now, authority in the world is being increasingly undermined, isn't it so? Until at the end, all authority will be overthrown and lawlessness shall rule. See, that's the way it was. That's the way it was before God destroyed the first world. Over in the book of Genesis, when God was dealing with Noah, he said, every thought of man is evil. See, so evil was rampant, and that was no law. So God only found 8 people that he could trust. Noah and his family, you see it? And so God spared Noah and destroyed the world because the world was full of lawlessness. Now we're in the second creation, you see it? And now God said he's gonna send his son to redeem us. And so it came through the lineage of Jesus, of David, all the way to Jesus. And now we're here. And now we're getting almost to the consummation. Won't be long before Jesus comes. Now, we cannot serve God and simultaneously go the way of rebellion by having a rebellious spirit. You can't. Now, Satan laughed. Now, listen to this. I tried to bring this to the point earlier, and you know, but I knew I was getting to it, and I knew I was gonna emphasize on a little bit more. But listen to this statement here. Satan laughed when the rebellious person preaches the word, for in that person is dwelling a satanic principle. Isn't that something? Satan laughed when the rebellious person preaches the word, for in that person is dwelling the satanic principle. Is that so? Yes, it is so. Yes, it is so. The principle of service must be authority. Under that authority. And see, authority can't be authority without the will of God involved in authority, you see? See, authority is the will of God. And the will of God is authority. It represents who God is. The principle of service must be authority. Are we going to obey God's authority or not? Isn't that something? So, class, the question is, are we going to obey God's authority or not? Are we going to serve under the principle of authority, or are we going to be deceived by this satanic principle of Satan and having us out there thinking we're serving God but under his principle? We who serve God must have this basic understanding of authority. Anyone who has once experienced, now I tried to explain this a little bit earlier. Anyone who has once experienced an electric shock knows thereafter that he cannot be careless with electricity. Likewise, a person who has once been smitten by God's authority from then on has his eyes open to judge what is lawlessness both in himself and in others. You see, once you have tasted this authority, and that smitten only means corrected by authority. Once you've been jolted by this correction, Won't you really met a man or one of God that not afraid to correct you? I tell you what, you just like, you know, a guy was telling me how to train my dog. The man who I got the dog from was telling me how to train my dog. He said, when you correct him, don't use your hand. He said, use a little instrument, roll a piece of paper up or something. Same thing when correcting children. My mom, when we were little, my mom used to make us go break the twitch off the branch of a tree. And don't break a little one either. Break one that got little flexibility, because once you hit you, it will pop like a whip. But she wouldn't use her hand, but you use that whip, boy. I tell you what, that whip, you had respect for that whip. That whip became an authority. So likewise with my dog, sometimes, you know, when I got to correct him, I got to catch myself, because then I didn't want him to disrespect. I didn't want him to be afraid of me. I want him to be afraid of this piece of roll of paper that I'm slapping him inside his head with, telling him, no, you can't do that. Because now he's not gonna, now he's gonna love me and hate the paper. You see it? So my mother would want to love her but hate the switch. You see it? Yeah, I hope it makes sense, but it's true anyway. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Anyone who has yet experienced an electric shock knows thereafter that he cannot be careless with electricity. Likewise, a person who has once been smitten by the switch, you know what I'm trying to say, smitten by the rod of God, or God's authority, from then on has his eyes open to judge what is lawlessness, both in himself and in others. So once you get corrected, good, you know not to do that thing no more. You see it? And a wise person, if you wise, you pay attention. See, I'm the last out of 11 children. And I had 10 older than me. My family was so large, by the time I got a certain age, some of them had kind of left the houses a little bit because they were years older than me. My oldest sister is exactly 20 years older than me. She old enough to be my own mother. So I didn't see all of them go to the correction. Some of them know a little bit about midways. I saw them go through the correction. My point is, I watched and paid attention. I said, boy, I don't want to do that, and I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. I saw one of my brothers one time, one of my older brothers. I tell you what, he missed my daddy. My daddy corrected him, and he talked back to him. And then my daddy hit him like he was a Mike Tyson. My daddy hit him, and my brother left home, wouldn't come back for 3 days. But I tell you what, he didn't disrespect my dad no more. I said, I don't want to say that. I don't want to do that. And I learned, a wise person learned from others' correction. You see, spiritually, certain things you learn from watching and observing. I don't want to do that. I've learned so much from watching other people make mistakes. And I marked that. I said, don't do this, don't do that. Nope, don't do that. You know, you hang around long enough, you if you're a wise student, you'll learn what not to do and what you can do and what is right to do. You learn to learn authority, you see, from others' mistake. I hope I say something to help you. Now, so a person once been spitting my God's authority, from then on has his eyes open to judge what is lawlessness, both in himself and in others. I think that was a very good example, watching other people. May God be gracious to us by delivering us from rebellion. Isn't that something? Only after we have known God's authority and learn obedience, can we lead his children in a straight path. So if God want to make us, this is safe to say this, if God wants to make us laborers in his field, in any kind of leadership or governing position, then once you learn obedience to God's authority, God qualifies you to become his authority, his representative, because God knows you're going to lead his people right. You see it? God knows you're not going to be show-offs, and you're going to humble yourself before God, and you're not going to be too quick to judge, and you're going to have mercy on people. I mean, you want to rule with a rod of iron. You see it? That's why God sent someone in the likeness of sinful flesh. You see it? Like Jesus himself. So he knew firsthand what we experienced as human beings. You see, and Jesus was tested and tried just like us, but yet without sin. So therefore, God allows someone as a man to understand what we go through on this earth. So he won't be, he'd be able to show his mercy and grace upon us. So a good leader, once he learned authority, he's humbled himself and shows mercy and grace to know that he himself too is lacking unto sin. You see it? You see, even the high priest, when they offer sacrifice, they had to offer sacrifice for themselves and for the people. You see, so because that's why God always put a man before men, so we can rightly judge. You see it? From a position of infirmity. You see it? So class, you been in a good class? I think I'm gonna close right here. And we're gonna see you next time. And read over this lesson and read 1 John 3 and 4 again in the M5 Bible, and you're gonna learn exactly what we were talking about. You've been in a good class, and I bless you, and I see you next time.